Blog Talk Radio.
LiveDeliverance.com here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so as we get into the Word and see what God has to reveal to us today. So if you would, join your hearts in prayer with me as we get started and get into the Word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place and this time because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me so that I can decrease, so that you can increase. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, revealed to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men, teaching us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more, by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, today we want to start a new series, and that series title is In the Flow of His Glory. And as I start this, I'm thinking about and hearing, you know, how God wants us to display his presence in the earth. I was just on another call, and one of the things that God reminded us is that we are couriers and carriers of the faith that he wants to be seen in the earth. We present that faith back to God, and then he causes that faith that we present to him as he inspects it, because you got to know that his word, he said his word shall not return to him void, but it will prosper in the thing where he sent it. It will do that which he pleases. So then if we bring a word back to God out of frustration, anger, fear, anxiety, then that's not a word, first of all, that pleases him. So then the reward that we are seeking is not one that we're going to get. That's not the flow of his glory. See, I do understand that sometimes we want to take our emotions and then approach God from the position of our emotions that we now know is working. Okay? No, God did not want you to bring an emotional response to him. He wants you to bring faith to him. That's what it asks, the question. When God comes back, will he find faith in the earth? He didn't ask the question that when he comes back, will he find emotions in the earth? Yes, he did give you emotions, but he wants you to bring that under subjection to the word. See, so when you do that, then the thing that he's trying to have to be seen will be able to be that which he can bless. See? So we want to see the blessing of God, but we're going to try to do it our way. I don't know why we continue to think that for some reason that's going to work. You know, if he's described the steps or prescribed, let's go there. If he's prescribed the steps that we should walk in, then it would just be wise for us to go ahead and walk in those steps. Not to try to create others and then ask him to bless this mess. See, I remember in Psalms 37, it says that if we would delight ourselves in the Lord, then he will be able to give us the desires of our heart. See, he's asking for the submission that he's going to honor. Okay? The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro over the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those that have a perfect heart towards him. See, so he's expecting us to walk those steps out. I do understand that sometimes it seems that the steps are difficult, but I will remind you what the word says. In 1 John chapter 5, it says that his commandments are not grievous. They're not hard. See, when we try to understand them through flesh indicators, then we're going to probably come back with a word that seems to be hard. But his words, his thoughts towards us are thoughts of peace. Start there. They're thoughts of peace. He doesn't come at us with something that's difficult. He wants us, expects us to win. So then if he's expecting us to win, why would he then make it difficult, contrary to his word? Because Jesus came in the earth and said, my yoke is, say it with me, easy. My burden is light. See, he's not trying to make this thing difficult. If the one we're supposed to follow said it's going to be easy, that would make God out to be a liar, and he's not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. See? He just wants us to approach him. He's looking for those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. All right, let me just dive into that right there. Worship is not something you do when you're gathered on a Sunday morning. Worship is what you live 24 hours a day. He told that to the children of Israel, starting in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and because he is, you shall worship the Lord thy God with all thy mind, all thy strength, all thine heart. See, he wasn't trying to get you to worship the Lord on a day only. Okay, he didn't train them, teach them, speak to them, and give them that as their information and inspiration that they're going to live out. He said he wants all. Amen. So if he wants all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, that would tell me that he's looking for that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Otherwise, he would have said things like, I'm looking for one-seventh of your heart, one-seventh of your soul, one-seventh of your... You see, he didn't say that. He said all. And the way I understand the word all is it means all. It means all the time. There is not one second of any day that all does not mean all. So then we're going to have to understand that as we worship, we're going to have to worship from the perspective of giving all. See? So that would help me to understand how to bring my thoughts into subjection to his word. Because if I'm mad, upset, frustrated, in fear, at that point, my mind and my heart are not worshiping in the avenue and area of all, is it? I mean, he made it easy. It's not difficult. We bring our emotions in and then try to use those as what we should gauge how we approach God. See? That's not what he wants. He's looking for those who have given him all so that he can speak over and into every situation of your life. I'm going to say that again. He's looking for those that will worship, surrender unto all so that he can speak into all. Whatever you sow, that's what you reap. The measure that you sow with, that's the measure that you're going to reap. So if I'm going to give God a part, then I should only expect a part. Okay, just so that we get it. See? I don't know how we came up with these teachings or this rational position of thought that we can give God a little bit and expect all. See? As you have believed, so be it unto you. That tells me that it's going to be proportional to what you start with. God has the blessing and is speaking blessing over your life and into your life. But without the revelation from him, you will not know what that blessing is. Amen. See, he's not withholding it from you. You just don't enter into it. Don't you remember that Jesus told us in Revelation chapter 3 that he says, behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. And if any man would open the door, please note that the doorknob for the flow of God, that doorknob is on the inside of the room where you are. He's already declared and decreed the blessing is yours. He's already done that. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. He says, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. That was back in Deuteronomy when he was still speaking from heaven, speaking through Moses. And he said, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that this day I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose. See? So he's not up there withholding. Okay? In fact, again, he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. When I walk in the path that is ordained for me, the blessing now will be made manifest through me because I'm in the right place. I'm in the right position. When you're trying to travel about the country, when you get on the right road, you will end up in the right destination. For an example here, if you leave Atlanta, Georgia, and you want to go to Florida, then there are the ways that are already ordained that you should get there. If you decide that you're going to go on Highway 20 and try to get to Florida, you won't get there because the Highway 20 goes east and west, and in order to get to Florida, you're going to have to go south. But I'm on the highway. Yes, you are, but you're not on the prescribed highway. It would be wise for you to get on 75 South, and 75 South would take you to Florida. When you get to Florida, there are some new directions that you would have to get or enter into so that you can get to the designation of the city that you would want. But first of all, you had to get to the state that you want. See, I can't get to the state of Florida going east and west. See, I don't care what I do. I'm never going to get to Florida going east and west. At some point, I'm going to have to turn, repent, and go south. See? So he's not the one that's withholding if you're on the wrong highway. If you're going to function in your anger, your bitterness, your hurt, your pain, then he can't get to you because he didn't tell you to go hide in that place. Amen. He's the one that said things to us that we should execute, which is to cast all of our care on him. Because when I cast my care, now my care does not direct me. Oh, you just might want to write that down. When I cast my care over on him, now my care will not direct me. That's good. Again, delight myself in the Lord, and then he will give me. See? It's not he's withholding. He will be able to cause the revelation that comes along with his word. For the entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Okay, so that we can break that down. He says, when I let the word enter into my heart, it gives me illumination. It gives me revelation. See? So if I'm just going to let the word hang around my thinking, but not enter into my heart, then I don't get the illumination that comes from a heart that is surrendered. Okay? Jesus said it in John 15. He says, if you abide in me and if my words abide in you, then the conversations that you have, you will ask what you will and it will be given you. You see, that this is how he set these things up. This is the flow of his glory. This is how you get there. It happens by surrender. It does not happen because you are making God a suspect. And I don't know how many times in life we've done that. We treat God as if he's the suspect. Well, if I do this, I'll wait on him to do that so I can do this. No. It's the other way around. If you abide in him and if his words abide in you, then from that place of conversation, you will ask and receive. See? I mean, it's really, really, really simple. He's listening to you all of the time. He gave you breath. And with that breath, he's asking you, if you have the breath, praise. He didn't say, if you have breath, murmur, complain, and judge. He didn't say that. He said, let everything that hath breath praise. So then if my breath is a breath of complaint, a breath of accusation, a breath that is causing an explanation of my pain, because that's what some people would say, I ain't complaining, I'm just explaining. Okay, well, that sounds good, except God's looking at your heart, and he's told you to put the word in your heart. David said that in Psalms 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why did you do that, David? So that I will not sin against thee. Please understand, the definition of sin is to be without a portion. So then if, in fact, you are without a portion, it is evident that you will probably do the wrong things. If you don't have what you need, then you're going to do what everybody who does not have what they need, you're going to begin to steal, borrow, beg. Why? Because I don't have what I need. See? But God says, I've already supplied. I've given you, okay, so that you won't think I'm misrepresenting the scripture. He said he has, past tense, 2 Peter chapter 2, says he has, verse 3, he has, past tense, already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Didn't say he will give, it said he has given. See? So your supply has already been sent to you. But without the entrance of the word, you don't have the revelation to walk in it. All you come to God with is a heart that seems to be begging or a heart that seems to be frustrated, see? And he wants you to come in his presence. He said you're supposed to come boldly into the throne of grace. Come boldly. So then if you... That's just a good point. If you have unforgiveness in your heart and God has told you that when you stand praying, forgive, can you have boldness? This is a real question. If he told you to come boldly, but you know you have unforgiveness and you know that he said that if you have aught against any, forgive. that when you bring your gift to the altar and you recognize you have aught against any, he said, leave your gift at the altar, go to your brother and get that right, so that when you come, you have full confidence and expectation that what you're asking for, you'll receive. You didn't try to do this thing your way. You did it the way he prescribed it for us to do it. See? He's already said, I've set these steps before you, and I want you to walk in them. I say in my prayer that we're supposed to sojourn in the land of promise. He wants us to be so comfortable in there that any place we go, we can communicate with him, commune with him, receive from him. Anywhere you go, again, that's what he said in Deuteronomy 28, that if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, that all of these blessings will do what? They will come up on you and they will overtake you. Please help me. Did not say in that scripture that I would have to look for them, that I would have to fight for them, that I would have to lie and connive for them. He said if I would hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord, then the blessings would come up on me and they would overtake me. Glory to God. He said it would be so good that I'll be blessed wherever I go. I'll be blessed in the city. I'll be blessed in the field. I'll be blessed when I come in. I'll be blessed when I go out. All of the nations of the earth will see that I'm called by the name of the Lord. This is what he is wanting for his children. See, this is the flow of his glory. He's wanting us to receive so that we can then give testimony about his goodness. Our testimony about his goodness should not just be about a position of bragging about what I got. It should be a heart that is more connected to God day by day and say, look what my God is doing. Look what my God is displaying. Because what he is displaying is love that he has for everybody. It was referred to as a great love, a so loved. See, God so loved the world. See, the great love wherewith he loved us. So then I'll ask this question. Okay, all right, let's try it that way. Are we continually walking in what he just described as the great love, the soul love? See, he's inviting us into it. That in the dispensation of the days that would be to come, the days that we walk in, that he would display, show, bring into manifestation his great love wherewith he loved us. That would be one of the easiest ways to make disciples. When they see it working in your life, they will ask you the questions and you will say, let me just tell you about my God, not let me tell you about the things. I would submit to you that that would be one of the drawbacks that we have presented to the people that should be coming into the earth, into the kingdom of God from the earth's cursed system. Why would they need to come into the kingdom of God from this earth curse system when I keep displaying what the earth curse system can produce? Because this is what we try to do. We try to work hard to get what God has already promised. Come on, y'all. Come on. He said the blessings will come upon you and overtake you. I don't hear in that scripture where you're going to have to work. You can tell that it's part of the earth curse system because when Adam sinned, then God told him, because of the sin, because you have done this thing, now you shall live by the sweat of your brow. That's the earth cursed system. Because before that, anything that the man needed and wanted, God did. In fact, it was so. It was such a great system that before Adam even knew what he asked for, what he wanted, God said, It didn't say that we heard Adam say, come on, y'all. It said God said it's not good for man to be alone. Adam was unaware of it, according to the scripture. See? God came up delighting himself in the Lord, and then God gave him the desire of his heart. Not God was able to execute, God was able to put into his heart the thing that's easy now for God to give. It came from heaven, and heaven can produce it. It didn't come from flesh, and now God got to figure out a way how to make your flesh get what it wants. Did he not tell us in the book of James that we have not because we ask not, we ask and receive not because we asked amiss, so that lust will be fulfilled? So we can consume it on our lust. One thing that's interesting about lust is that as soon as you partake, you're going to have to generate more lust to get the next thing. Amen. See? Because I found out about lust that it is never satisfied. Lust just simply makes another demand, a higher demand, a bigger demand. Instead of us coming to the place where we are hearkening diligently unto the voice of our Lord, and then blessings come up on us and overtake us. Oh, it's a much better place to live like that. See? Because I don't have to then bring accusation to God saying, you don't know what I need, when Jesus said, I know what you have need of before you pray. That was the system that was in place. That's why God came and said, it's not good that man should be alone. If it was another way, then the scripture would have read something like, God heard it's not good. I didn't see that in the scripture. Amen. God is looking for ways to rejoice over you to do good. And he said he wants to rejoice more and more. 1,000 times. Help me out the scripture again. I'm just quoting what scripture is. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that's working on the inside of you. Not according to the power of what's in your hand. Come on, y'all. He said the power was going to be working where? Inside you. So then if I don't have this confidence, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then things happen on a different dimension, at a different level. See? This is what God wants us to participate in. This is the flow of his glory. See, I don't have to go and hope and wish. I can go and establish his covenant because he's overflowing me with blessings. I'll be able to, according, I'm still in Deuteronomy 28, I'll be able to lend to many nations and not borrow. I'll live as the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. See? This is what he wants us to participate in. And those promises are activated in a mind that is renewed. I'll say it better. Those principles and precepts operate in better in a mind that is renewed. Again, that's why the people of the world will look at celebrities and try to reproduce what they see in the celebrity's life, because we haven't given them truth that causes them to be free to enjoy the goodness of the Lord. You know, I was on a call, and I recognized this some months ago, but I didn't understand the intent and integrity of the statement. Have you ever heard the statement that people would say that you're looking through life through rose-colored lenses? And they said it as an insult, as to, wake up, boy, wake up, okay? And I didn't understand or hear till recently what those rose-colored lenses were. They would be lenses that are covered with the blood of the Lamb. Amen. See, because all of the promises in him, the one that gave his blood, he who spared not his own son, how will he not with him freely give us all things? Those are blood-covered promises. And when I look through a lens that is rose-colored, if you would, blood-stained, if you would, then I would understand that promise. Then I'll be able to enjoy that promise, not try to make that promise happen. That's what we didn't present to them, the ability to believe God. We presented to them stuff that they couldn't see how God was going to do it. And since I don't see how God is going to do it, I got to do it myself. That's living under the earth cursed system. And the Bible does say that there are pleasures of sin for a season. That it only works for a limited time in a limited amount. See, you can the flesh profiteth little. He did not say the flesh has no profit. He said it profits little. See, and I mean we make it subjective because we say, well, you know, we got a LeBron James that got all that kind of no. When you compare that to a place where the streets that you walk on are not paved with gold, beloved, they are gold. Glory to God. With the gates in heaven, we in our mind we would think that they are gates of pearl. Did not say that. It says that the gate, every gate, is one pearl. I don't know how big that pearl is. You do recognize this is the gate of heaven, the gate where God walks through, where angels walk through, multiple angels at a single time. How big would that gate be? And the gates that's up there, each gate is a single pearl. So when you compare a LeBron James economic position to a place where you walk on streets of gold and you walk through one gate being the gate for the whole city, y'all, come on. The gate for the city, 12 gates, and each gate is a pearl. It boggles my mind when I think of that. See, so then when I compare anything that's down here to what's there, it doesn't compare. I want to be able to see, since God is no respecter of person, I want to be able to enter into that thing that was so present and prevalent in Solomon's life. Because God said, you asked me for wisdom, and I'm going to give you all of this gold. I'm going to give you all this silver. I'm going to give you all of these things you didn't ask for. When Solomon went to build the temple, the Bible tells us that they would count the gold, but they didn't count the silver. In fact, the silver was kept in heaps, piled up outside the city. So here we are. Think about the way that is now. They counted the gold. They used the gold. It was for the instruments of the temple. And so they didn't even take the time to count the silver. It was worthless. It was counted as nothing. And they kept it outside the city. Didn't even bring it inside so somebody could watch it. They kept it out in the city dump, if you would. It was piled up in heaps. The second most valuable metal that we have in our currency was kept outside the city in heaps. Did not say in piles. Didn't say in little mounds. It said heaps. Glory to God. And he's inviting you into the same flow of glory. The word glory is defined as, in the Bible, 156 times. It is defined as splendor, honor, reputation. I love this one. Properly weighed and weighted with good. It says properly weighed and weighted with good. Abundance. It's defined that way. So see, with what God is inviting you into with his glory, it's something that's going to get the attention of those around you. It will not be pie in the sky kind of talking. It will be, wait a minute, you got what? You have more than enough? Because your God is more than your God is El Shaddai, and then because you have more than enough, you can lend to many. Didn't say to one or two. It said you would lend to many nations, and as you're lending, you will never have to borrow. Because the principle is you will be lending to the Lord, and when you lend to the Lord, God will repay. See, these are the principles that he's asking us, waiting on us to participate in, so that we can cause people to replace the hope that they placed in a system that is cursed from the ground up. From the ground up. Because the man Adam had to live from a ground that was cursed. So your living comes out of anything that we do comes out of the ground, which makes it part of the cursed system. Oh, have I got a problem with you blessing it? No, I do not. But we need to understand that I'm not supposed to be sweating to get it, because Jesus said his yoke is easy, burden is light. He took us back to a sweatless existence. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. If we are redeemed from the curse of the law, that means sweat, which is part of the curse, I'm redeemed from it. But ironically, unfortunately, we haven't been trained that way, so we still try to function in dual citizenship from the negative position. You have dual citizenship. Can't get out of that, because you are in the world, but you're not of the world. And we try to be of the world, living by the precepts and principles that they dictate. Okay? That would only be rose-colored glasses. Okay? Instead of rose-covered glasses. See, I live because of what he did. See? I just don't think about what he did and put a smile on my face. No, I purpose to live by it. That would cause the invitation of other men, because they will see my good works and then they will have a different conversation. They will glorify God. We are living in a dispensation when it's going to be necessary for us to allow God's glory to be seen, revealed. It is not just monetary, 100%. Know that. But you get men's attention when they have their need met. Jesus did that in his ministry. He had people that came, and they were seeking him for all kind of things. And as they were seeking him for this, that, and the other, for healing and breakthrough, they were seeking him for that. For wisdom, they were seeking him for that. But then he said, let's not send them away hungry. Let's make sure we meet their need. They've been in the way 3 days, and it's not good to send them away hungry without a need being met. And then the disciples, they didn't get it. Oh, Jesus, we ain't got nothing here but two fish and two loaves of bread and some fish. And Jesus said, well, bring him here. And he brought him, and he took him up and blessed his father and said, Father, I thank you that you hear me, that you always hear me. He said, now, because you are a God of supply, and you told me to give the people from the supply that I have, and so I'm going to do that. And then he took that blessed food that was now heavenly blessed. It came from the earth curse system, but he gave it to God and it became blessed. And you can tell it was blessed from heaven because it increased. Come on, y'all. Come on. They didn't go get some more. They lived from that which is blessed of God.
and they were obedient in what Jesus told them to do. Because he told them, he said, okay, take this, have them sit down in order, and feed them from the blessed food. And they took it, and they began to minister unto 5,000 men. They did not count the women. They did not count the children. So then you've got to kind of do the math. If you have 5,000 men, and most of the men would be married, didn't say all of them, but the majority would be married, because these are the principles of the day was that you're supposed to find a wife so that you can obtain favor. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor. So there was not a thought process of, I need to live my life single. It was not a process. They wanted the blessing of the Lord. So they were looking for a wife. Jump street. Day two is not day one. Okay? And then because of having a wife, then it was not good for you not to have children. And they were not talking about one. Blessed is the man that has his quiver full of them. Quiver was five. See? So then, in that day, they were not just trying to walk around and okay, I'll even go that way. They were not trying to walk around just having the most beautiful woman. Amen. They were trying to walk around so that they can sit at the gate. Come on now. Come on. So that they can sit at the gate and walk in, understand authority. That's what was going on in their day. See? It was not for display. It was because I need to have authority in my own house. Because God told me in my house, train up my child in the way that they should go, because when they old, we'll have this same thing happening over and over. They will not depart from it. See, that's what they were trying to do. See, it was a different mindset. This is the flow of his glory. Because children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. See, so it was just a different mindset. I know now we say, well, you can't have all them kids. The reason that they were doing it is because they understood that was an heritage of the Lord. That was another reason and position of heart to look for the glory to be released and revealed. I know I can't supply for all these kids. But that's not the way they thought, because the Bible said that he was young and now he's old and he's never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. See, these were not just nice scriptures that they would quote. This is the way they learned to live. See? They allowed God to be God in areas and avenues that we don't even enter into now. You can't have all them kids. Well, I'm displaying the glory of God. Not because I got the kids, but because it takes God to supply for my kids. It was not my education that supplied for my kids. See, it didn't say, I was young and now I'm old and I've never seen the educated forsaken and their seed begging bread. It didn't say that. It said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. No, they're going to be mighty men that are going to have authority in the gate, because they'll be trained up in the way they should go. They will understand that, son, it's all about God, your connection to God. It's all about how can you display the goodness of the Lord day by day. How can I allow him that has made promise to show promise in my life? See, that's the way that it's supposed to work. Those are the things that cause us to be able to release glory. See? It's automatic that if you do that, let's just look at what we have in our society today. The people in our society that are highly connected to money, would be the people that are the direct descendants of God, direct descendants of Abraham, direct. In Iraq, and that whole country, that whole section of the world, they are the ones that have been placed where the oil is. Iran, Iraq, that they just have that going. Even in our country, we look at it and we will say that the people that are connected to God being Jews, naturalized Jews, that they're complete, born as Jews, they're the ones that had the money. Because the blessing was connected to the covenant, which was connected to God. And then Jesus came and said, now, I'm giving y'all the opportunity to do the same thing, because now you can be spiritual Jews. And the same blessing that was on Abraham is now given to the Gentiles. And as soon as we got an understanding, I'm supposed to have money, we stop seeking the money that comes connected to the glory of God, and we started seeking the money that came through education and connection. See? And that's not how he wants the flow to happen. He gave you the power to get wealth so that you can establish his covenant. And in this time that we're living, we're not trying to establish his covenant. We're trying to establish our own. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end of that is basically what you see happening day by day. Destruction. Corruption. Which is destruction in slow motion. And what it was going to take, it's going to take repentance at a higher level. And repentance will not even be something that's thought about if we don't display the goodness of the Lord. Because it is the goodness of the Lord that leads men to repentance. It's not the money that leads them. It's the goodness. When I tell them that this that's flowing into my life, that's flowing out of my life, is the glory of God, and only the glory of God. Because if I just get money by itself, it says money's going to grow wings and depart. Stock market chasers, amen, it's going to grow wings and depart. But if I connect myself to God, he said, I will have the power to obtain. That's not flying away, is it? Glory to God. That's me being able to grasp and then utilize it correctly. See, money is simply a tool. Mm-hmm. It is just as much a tool as healing was. Because that's what happened. Jesus healed, and that became a tool to make people come back to God. See? Everything that God gives us is a tool. It is a resource. God is the source, and if we would understand and function in that, then our resource will be used to bring them back to God, the source. See? But we have left, his people have committed two evils. They have left the fountain of living waters, and they've hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns, that cannot hold any water. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, 14. This is his people. They have left the living, the fountains of, I love the S, the fountains of living water. They've left that. And they decided to carve out, hew out for themselves cisterns that are broken and cannot hold water. Again, that would be a fleeing flow, wouldn't it? Something that you start, but it's not sustainable. See? God wants to be glorified in the earth because our life brings him the opportunity to speak into the lives of others. That's why he told us to go and do these things. Feed the hungry. Raise the sick. Raise the dead. Why? Because that's something money can't buy, isn't it? Oh, yeah, we can get there now because we have medicine. And that's hewing out for yourself cisterns that are broke, that cannot retain the water. They cannot retain the health that you purchased by money. Come on, y'all. Just listen at some of the advertisements in medicines. They say, okay, yeah, you can get healed from this, but it's going to cause this, that, and the other. Sometimes you might even die. How is that sustainable, beloved? But see, he invited us into a place where we can receive freely and give freely. Sustainable. See? And to even show us greater, it's something that worked all of the time. It says about Jesus that he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. Did not heal some. When you go to the practicing physicians, you might get some time of healing, sometime not. But Jesus healed them all. He sent his word to heal us from ALL. Psalms 107, verse 20. See, God deals in another dimension. He deals in the all. And he wants us to be trained in how to release the all. Peter got a revelation. And the Bible says that Peter was walking through the streets and that anybody that his shadow came in contact with, it healed them all. Didn't say that Peter was on his way to church trying to have a healing meeting. Peter was on his way to the grocery store to get some bread, to get some fish. And as his shadow came over people, healing happened. And then people began to gravitate toward the things Peter would teach, the things Peter would say. Because he would say stuff like, today, men, you know what you can have? You can enjoy times because the promise is for you and for all of your seed that you may enjoy times of refreshing, with an S, times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. He didn't say that you shall enjoy a day of refreshing once a week. He said you would enjoy times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Because wherever the word goes, the Bible says in Luke 5:17 that the presence, the power of the Lord was present to heal, was present to cause announcements to be made, invitations to be given. See? It was not just for us four and no more. This is the glory that God is inviting us into. See, he needs that to be present in our day so that people can say, yes, I don't have a problem with you getting a temporary solution from a doctor that's practicing. I got no issue with that. But do you want that to be something that never comes back again? Same thing he said with the Egyptians. The Egyptians that you see today, you will see no more forever. You want that same kind of an avenue to people that they can be totally, completely healed. We didn't see another time where the woman with the issue of blood had to go back and say, okay, my condition is back again. I don't see that in the Bible. It says that they were made ever so with whole. What that tells me is whatever the cause was is no more. Amen. Jesus just set one lady free in her spirit. She was out living with all kind of men, and the one she was living with now, she already had five men that she was living with, and the man she was living with now was her husband. But Jesus just caused healing in the heart that was messed up, in the soul that was confused. And she left there, and she went and told everybody. See, let me tell you a man that told me everything I ever did, and it didn't stop him from releasing healing to my soul. Let me tell you about that man. Converted a whole town. Glory to God. Okay? Everybody heard it. The lady that was healed from the issue of blood. And she told everything. Amen. The demoniac, he was set free from a legion of demons. And immediately he said, I want to go tell everybody. She said, No. Stay here. There's a work that you need to do here. because your testimony is easily and readily understood. They knew you were the one that sat by the, that was out in the tombs and cut itself. They knew that's who this was. And now they see you sitting in your right mind, praising God, wanting to be a testimony of his faithfulness. He said, you stay here. I need your testimony to be seen, heard, and understood. And the man stayed, even though you expect people to talk about him and say what they said. Isn't this the man that? Yeah. But just like the man that was blind that Jesus healed, the man said, I once was, but now I am. I once was blind, but now I see. So then I'm going to give you the other side of what you knew about me. See, I'm going to stay, even though the people that were hearing the testimony wanted him to shut up. And you could tell they wanted him to shut up because they say, oh, no, you get out of church. Kick the man out of church. Kick the blind man out of church. Threaten his family to be kicked out of church. So much so that the father said, yeah, this is our child. Tell us the truth. Is this your child who was born blind? How is it that he now sees? This is our child. And we know that he was born blind. And how he sees that, we don't know. We can't tell you. Well, Ben, give God the glory. What's happening here? He said, I told you once, you don't want to hear me. He said, I once was blind, but now I see. I'll go around telling people because the one that healed me, he deserves a testimony that he developed. He deserves the testimony that he brought forth. This is what the glory invites you into. This is what the glory provides for you, a platform to give testimony. Not a platform to build what you want to build, have, and selfishly keep, but a platform to give testimony about the faithfulness of God, to cause people to become thirsty, knowing that God that did that for you is wanting to do that for me. He's wanting, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. So he's wanting that to be released by our mouth, released by our life. See, this is the flow of his glory. And so we have to begin to look at things from that perspective. Not to go and say, okay, God, I need you just to work on me so that you can give me what I need. That's on the side of selfish. When God has a soul love that he wants displayed, he wants a great love that he wants understood. So then the question becomes, does God want us to, or does he even expect us to flow in this glory? Because Isaiah 42 says that he will not share his glory, give his glory to another. And see, what happens a lot in our life is that we listen at one scripture without hearing the rest of the conversation that was in that text, that was in that dissertation, okay? Because God, the Bible should not have been, it was not spoken in chapter and verse. So it should not only be studied in chapter and verse. I have no problem with you studying in chapter and verse, but go back and get the collective. The chapter and verse was given so that we would have a place of reference so that we can start from there. Okay? But when you just go to one chapter, one verse, and pull it out of context, that's not good for us. Because Jesus told us, it's in red, he told us in Matthew chapter 4, that we have to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See? So don't just try to give one word continually all the time, not understanding that it is connected to another word that we're required to live by. So when you see Isaiah 42, which says he will not give his glory to another, then let's continue to read. Because in chapter 43, again, which is not a separate a separate speaking, he was still speaking, and it was recorded, and they just put that so that we can go study it. Okay? Then in chapter 43, verses 1 through 7, after you read in chapter 42, verse 8, that he said he will not do this, this is what he says in chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 through 7. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name, by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Here's something I just want you to get. He said, you were precious in my sight. Verse 4. He says, you were precious in my sight. Let's continue to understand. And in my sight, you have been honorable. Did he say, and you have lived honorably? No, he didn't. He said, in my sight, you have been made honorable. Okay? Same way with us. We did not do anything to inherit the righteousness of God. God gave it to us. And then he looks at us as if we are righteous. He who knew no sin was made to be sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay? So he's not telling them this so that they can brag. He's telling them this is the way he looks at it. Okay? For because you were, since thou were precious in my sight, and since you have been honorable in my sight, because I have loved you. I did not take that out of context. I tried to give clarity, and that's it. This is God's point of view. But now, look at this. Behold, I created you. I formed you. I redeemed you. Okay, right there. Did he say I did the redeeming? I'm still in this verse. Did he say, I did the redeeming? So then they were not trying to be presented. He didn't want them to be presented because of what they did. He said, I formed, I created, I redeemed, I called you. Okay, so that you can kind of get the understanding that God wants their thinking to be from the perspective of what he did. Okay? All right. When he saw us in our blood, Ezekiel said he saw us dying in our own blood, and he spoke to us and said to us, in our blood, live. Okay? So it's always been about him. But it would be wise for us to know what him wants to do. What do you want to do, God? And he said, this is what I did. This is what I want to do for you. Since you were precious in my sight, since you've been honorable in my sight, since I've loved you, therefore I give men for thee and people for thy life. Verse 5, fear not, I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, to the south, keep not back. I will bring my sons from the far, from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Why? Even everyone that is called by my name. Why, God? For I created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. So you were created for this. So when he said in Isaiah 42 that he will not give his glory to another, he just told us here, this is why I created him. So he's not giving his glory to another. This is the same place where he deposited his glory. His glory just went left-handed, sideways, backwards. But he said, but I created you for this. Hallelujah. That gives me such encouragement. Because that means, according to the scripture, he's able to save to the uttermost, see, those that call upon his name. See, he's put things in place so that your redemption means what it should mean to him. So then, because it means that to him, since you were precious in his sight, see, he says, I'm the one that did the redeeming. And I made you. I'm now simply reminding you of why I made you. I created you for my glory. Being created for his glory, which is like a place that both contains and releases his glory. You're created for this. See? Because it's the glory that makes the difference. Matthew 16:13 says, for thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory. This is what he told us to pray after this manner, understanding that he's the one that causes the glory to be released because it's his. And then he placed it on me, in me. Remember what it says in Psalms 8? He asked the question, David did, and said, what is man that you are mindful of him? Verses 4 and 5 in Psalms 8. What is man that you are mindful of him? And what is the son of man that you visit him? Because you made him a little lower than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor. It says that God made you with this understanding that you were already crowned with it. Before sin entered in, you were crowned with glory and honor. We gave up the honor, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus came so that he can restore all things. Again, if he's going to restore all things, would that include the glory crown that we had? It would have to, wouldn't it? So then he's taking us back to the place where we can walk in communion with him, release the creativity that he placed on the inside of us. See, that's the whole reason why this is done, so that we can make disciples, that we can then create with our words by the preaching of the gospel. See? That we'll be able to bring people to the place where conviction takes over and they say, you know what, I'm going to surrender to God. See, we look at this or have a glimpse into this glory, all right, that even worked in a less than perfect state. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, okay, and we're going to look at God's glory being released on purpose into a situation and condition that was completely contrary to the way he had made it. Because nothing was made that was not made by him. Okay? Nothing. So then, when we see this, think of it, if you would, out of time, not as a chronological dissertation, okay? It is how it happened chronologically. Got no issue. But we enter into it at a different setting, okay? Not going to change what happened at all, period. But in the account that we're reading was not necessarily the day of its origination. Okay? So it did happen exactly verse by verse. Got no issue with that. 100% accurate. Not taking away from that at all. Okay? But here is a way of hearing it, looking at it, so that you can glean what glory he's put on the inside of you. It's not to prove how smart I am. I am not doing a exegete of how and why. Not doing that. I'm digging into what glory was placed on the inside of you. Okay? So stay with me. He says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That statement stands by itself. Okay? It's not just supported by the following scriptures. It stands by itself. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Then he goes to chapter 2, if you would, chapter 12, wherever, so that he would say, this is how he came back and found the earth, not in the day when it was created. He came back because everything that God ever made was good. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, okay? So as a reference, that's what that is. He says, now after it was created, he came back and found that it was void and without form. Well, let's kind of ask the why. When the Lord cast the devil down to the earth, the devil who was trying to make himself a god would still try to do that on the earth. And through all of his shenanigans, he took the earth, which was a good thing, and made the earth a bad thing. Okay? Just by his presence and shenanigans, trying to do and prove that he was all that when he wasn't none of that. Because Jesus said he saw Satan be kicked out of heaven, and he came here to a place made by God that was made perfect when it was made. Okay? Watch the wordings here. It says, but this is the way we find it in this condition. The earth was without form. It was void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And he said, let there be light. And there was light. And he saw that the light was good, and he divided the light from the darkness. And the day, and God called the light day, and darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, just want to dig into this. Again, it happened as it is written. Got no problem, 100%. Ain't trying to undo that. But verse 1 stands by itself. Okay? Just so that you can understand that. I am not trying to separate it. It is an immutable fact, an immutable truth. I'll go better than fact, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Because you can see this in chapter 2. I hadn't thought about that. In chapter 2, it goes into detail about what happened in the beginning. Okay? So it's not, I'm not disproving it, because as you still read it, he will show you this is what was done in the day. Okay, that it was created. Okay, so I'm not trying to separate. I'm just trying to get us to go into what's available for us. Because watch what God did here. When he saw the earth that was void, without form, he saw the earth that was in the state of darkness, and the waters were here were not functioning as they were supposed to. Okay, because you're going to see some of the things that he did right there. But notice what it says, that in verse 2, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God moved upon the face of the waters. In another scripture, it says that he hovered over the face of the waters. So in that, we can glean that God was mulling, meditating. He already knew the answer that was on the inside of him, and he was saying, it's time to release that answer again. And he said, in order for the earth to do what it's supposed to do, light be, or me be. Okay? Because when he sent the devil here, it was a place that was separated from him. And anything that is separated from him will die. it will become useless, void. And the devil and his dark ways covered that which was useless to God. It was a place that was separated from his presence. Okay? That's what caused the darkness. That's what allowed the darkness. Okay? And then God said, I'm going to redeem this place. And I'm going to go back, if you would, to allow everybody that's coming from this time forward to see what I can do in them. Here's what happened there. When we were introduced to the Spirit of God, it says that the Spirit of God moved. That is a flow, isn't it? So God is reintroducing flow to something that was dead. So I'll ask, are there things in your life, situations, circumstances that are dead, not working, useless? Well, let's allow the understanding of what God wants us to do with those dead things. Okay? So it says that he hovered over or upon the known problems. There's a word that God has given you that will resolve the situations in your life, but you need to hover over them with the answers by the Spirit. Again, we don't need to go and bellyache and complain to God. That's not hovering over the problem with the answers of the Spirit. Okay? That's not what God did here when he brought these chapters and verses to life. He didn't hover over them with hurt, sorrow, or anything. He hovered over them with the answer. What was the answer? Me, be. Light, be. And then the response of him being, he said, that's good. And then he divided the light from the darkness. Notice something there. He did not remove the darkness, did he? He just allowed light to be in specific places. He hovered over the face of the deep and said over the place where he was, me be. And then where he wasn't, there was still darkness. And he said, okay, now, I'll divide the light from the darkness. And the day, notice that after he divided it, he also gave it purpose. Okay? He called it light. And he called darkness night. God, I'm hoping that you're seeing that. He gave darkness another name, which gave it another purpose. Amen. In your life, he's wanting to do that same thing, allow you to hear a word that comes out of meditating on the word by the Spirit so that you can give it purpose, a new name. He was not caught up in the problems of that were there by position of thought. I know why it is here, and it's going to stay like that. No. He began to cause new thoughts to be developed in a bad situation. Okay? And he's given us the power to call those things that be not as though they were. See? But it's going to have to be because we have new inspiration. I'm going to do better than information. Because information without inspiration causes you to have desperation, perspiration, and frustration. Okay? But if you have information that has inspiration, you can end up in destination. Okay? So for us, a new position of thought would be the same as he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. That if there be any things that's praiseworthy, if any virtue, if there be any honor, any praise, he said, think on these things. So a different position of thought. I don't stay in all of the they did me wrong. I don't sing a they did me wrong song. See, I do know they did, but I know that God had a plan while they were doing it that's bigger than what they did. Come on, now say that again. God had a plan while they were doing it that was bigger than what they did. For there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. There is a plan that God has that's greater than, bigger than whatever they did. Okay? But if I'm going to continually meditate on what they did, I will never hear the plan that causes my victory to become active. Okay? We have to not get caught up in the known problems, but let our thoughts go to the place of victory, to the place of promise. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, you remember what Jesus said? He said, let not your heart be troubled. So I can't have my heart in a position that's continually, perpetually releasing the woes of life. He said, let not. That's an operative word. Let not your heart be troubled. So that means I can let or I can let not. See? He says, and the way that you stop your heart from being troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many ways to get out of, to find another place of abode. There are many dwelling places. You don't have to stay where you are. Frustrated, busted, and disgusted. You can move to the place of enlightenment, to the place where your glory has already been settled. See? He told us not to be caught up in the known problems, the physical orientation. He told us to cast all our care over on him. My physical orientation, how I see myself, I need to put that in his presence, because in his presence is, yeah, fullness of joy. See? This is how we resist the devil and make him flee. Because God has already spoken and said, me be, light be. So then when I'm meditating on the light that is, his word gives understanding, it gives illumination. When I'm meditating from that position, then the darkness has to go. And then I give the problem a new name. I call the problem that was the path of my deliverance. My God, say it again. I call the problem that was the path of my deliverance. Wow. I don't have to stay there anymore. I can walk in the light. That which used to trouble me, God is going to cause it. He's working all things together for my good. The devil meant it for evil, but God meant it for my good. I'm going to allow that which used to trouble me become the thing that becomes the path of my victory. I'm walking, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. See, I'm going to let that be the path of my victory. Okay, let's do it this way. The path of my spoken victory. Glory. Because there is a promise that God has that he speaks out of the dark situations, into the dark situations, so that I can come out. That becomes my path. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Glory to God. Because he's going to have a rod and a staff that will comfort me step by step. Glory to God. See, so he says that this is what he wants to do. These steps are important, but they bring into my thinking or my heart a question, am I living by what I remember or what I recall, recollection? The Holy Spirit's job is to bring to my memory, my remembrance, what Jesus has said. But I can also live by that which I recall. Now, memory, the word remember, means to put back together in its original intent. To remember, to take this member and that member and put them back together as the original intent was. And I'm supposed to do that remember without interruption or influence of another, okay? When I remember a thing, put it back together in its original intent, I'm supposed to do that without the influence or interruption of another. So if I'm trying to remember a thing and I hear voices that were not from the original intent, I'm never going to remember correctly. I'm just going to recall or recollect the thing. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm going to put it back together wrong, if you would, because I am not remembering it. Something that I remember, I go back to the original and start from there and leave from where that is, okay? But if I'm going to recollect a thing, I'm taking that which is broken and trying to make it function broken, because all I am doing is recollecting. Do you see the difference between remember and recollect? Okay? And a lot of times in our lives, we just recollect. We take the hurt and the pain and put it back together and then try to function in our lives through the hurt and the pain. Using the hurt and the pain as my guide now, saying, I'm not going back through that. See, it was recollected. I used old stuff and tried to make it better. That's not wisdom. That's not God. That's not what glory does. See, he showed you what glory does. Glory saw darkness on the face of the deep. And he said, something new be, me be, light be. It all starts from him showing up as him. Because then when he remembers the thing, it'll function as it was supposed to, because the remember takes it back to its original intent. Okay? So you're going to have to stop functioning in your life by recollecting broken things, putting them back in place, the same hurt, pain, and anguish. Because when you put it together with the pain, the hurt, and the anguish, what that causes you to do is look for and demand retribution and repayment for the pain and suffering. You can tell which one you're doing based on what you expect in the future. If I remember, then its original intent is what I expect. But if I recollect, then I'm going to demand payment for what I have recollected. Okay? That means that we haven't had the right meaning of what remember means. Okay? We take each member and put it in its original intent, and then it functions from its original intent. That is remember. The Holy Ghost is going to bring to our remembrance that which Jesus has. Notice he didn't say he was going to bring to our remembrance what hurt, pain, and frustration we had. He's not going to bring that so that you can remember that. He's going to bring to your remembrance that which Jesus has spoken. the prophetic that invites you into victory, not the pathetic that brings you into futile explanations and executions. He doesn't want you to go to that place. Prophetic, not pathetic. So that you can tell which one you're doing by what you expect. See? We have to get to the place where the original intent, which he set up and released for us to observe, doesn't it say, looking unto Jesus? See, he wants you to build from there. We are co-laborers with him, and Jesus is building on revelation. Come on. He builds on revelation, because in the place of revelation building, he said the gates of hell cannot prevail against that. So by saying that, that tells me that if I'm building on something other than revelation, I'm going to have trouble, because the gates of hell can prevail against that. If I'm building on recollection, then I'm going to have trouble with the gates of hell. But if I'm building on remembering, putting the original intent back in place, see, then I can enjoy out of that. Because God causes joy to come when his spirit is at work. In fact, part of the understanding of the operation of the fruit of the spirit is joy. See? So we just got to understand we were invited into the glory, into the flow of the glory of God. And we don't need to dam up that flow by recollection. Let's live in revelation, build in revelation from what the original intent was, what the original intent is, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Father, we just thank you that you have spoken truths that would transform, that we would understand better glory that you intend for us to walk in, that we don't have to frustrate the grace of God bringing things that you are not wanting our hands to be on and then trying to get that to work. Father, we want to put our hands to that which is pleasing in your sight, that which is mandated by your spirit, mandated by your word, preordained steps that we should walk in. Cause us to see that. Cause us to desire that. Cause us to delight in you so that our desires can be given by you, so that you can then execute what's pleasing and perfect in your sight. Thank you, Father, for growing us up in the truth that causes freedom, liberty, and victory. We give you praise for that, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, again, as usual, I will turn it over to those of you that would have any questions or comments about the ministry tonight. And so area code 678-469-7930. You have the mic. Any questions or comments? Area code 678-469-7930. You have the mic.
Just one comment. I praise God for clarity.
Okay.
I was blessed to hear you break down remembering and recollection, because when you think about it briefly, without taking it apart. So I remember that, or I recollect, or as you heard, older generations say, I recollect.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I would take it that they were remembering something. But to recollect
right.
and to remember are two different things. After hearing
yeah.
the explanation tonight, I hadn't received that
right.
before. So I
yeah.
praise God for that explanation. Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Thank you for being
here. Amen. Glad to do it. I'm just glad to hear, because that was the same. That was the same exact response I had when he told me. I said, I thought it was all the same. But no, evidently it's not, because the Holy Ghost has never worked with a recollection. He's always worked with memory and wants me to start from the scratch and do it all over again. That was just powerful to me. So, amen. Glad that we can help you grow by that, because that will help us in the area of forgiveness, because I can then start with the new or the intended thing rather than the recollected thing.
Yeah.
So, amen. Amen. Appreciate
amen.
You being on the call. Amen.
Bless
you. Area code 404-408-3807. Area code 404-408-3807. You have the mic.
That is me, my brother. This is Brother John.
Amen. Amen. Glad to have you on the call. Brother John, you know I'm always blessed, man.
Yeah, man, praise the Lord. Man, you spoke a whole lot of things. I'm just going to summarize just one little thing, because, man, you spoke on God's blessing, which was something else. You talked about man and his sin, and you talked about faith, and you talked about God's glory, and I think I'm just going to just touch you on God's glory. I really enjoyed it. You know, I got out of it. You said God is holy, and he doesn't share his glory and honor with any person of God, and you said that his name should be honored by everyone who knows him as Lord. How? Well, you said through worship and holy reverence for his name. Then you said God is glorified when his children secure him with their possessions and their whole lives, and God's children always pay the proper response. And then you finalize it with that by saying, in Isaiah 42:8, you get to say, I am the Lord, that is that my name, and I would not give my glory to anyone else, and not share my praise with him. And then the last sentence I wrote down there, I got, God has a plan that was bigger and greater. I like this. God had a plan that was bigger and greater than what mankind had for him, you know, about this crucifixion. So we need to see ourselves as we are, and we must walk in the light and walk through the valley. It was, I enjoyed it, brother. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Amen. Glad to be here. Thank you for listening, Brother John.
Amen. Amen.
And then that's amen. Amen. That's the everybody else that's left the room. But I would like to, again, thank you for joining us here at LiveDeliverance.com. And if you are led of the Lord to sow a seed here, just go to LiveDeliverance.com, and you can find the donate tab, and you can open it up and go ahead and be obedient to the Lord, because as you are obedient, again, this is a good ground for you to sow into, because we pray for you that as God has said, when you give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give to your bosom. That God is able to make all grace abound to you, that as you are a cheerful giver, then you will be able to, by his Spirit, receive things that are exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. We agree in prayer with you as you sow seed, because it shows that the obedience that you have to the Spirit of God in this time is going to cause the things that you need in this time to be made manifest. That's simply the way he set the process up. You're not giving it to me. You're not giving it to the people at LiveDeliverance.com. You're giving it as unto the Lord, and then we have the responsibility of taking those funds and executing the thing that God is calling us to do. So it's a lot of work that goes on even after you give. It's not give, pluck it in the bucket. This is not a pluck it in the bucket ministry. This is a ministry that utilizes the spiritual things that God has set up so that we can enjoy the spiritual life that he's called us to. Amen. So until the next time that we gather together, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and upon you and give you his shalom. Until the next time we gather together, be blessed. Amen.